Circlement of China. Thank you very much for being with us.
My pleasure, Per, as always.
Well, this has been Fight the Empire. Stay tuned for Air Cascadia on KBOO, your radio station.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to present the live broadcast for the 26th annual Good in the Hood Multicultural Music, Arts, and Food Festival. This three-day celebration kicks off Friday, June 22nd, with the Good in the Hood Parade and Festival continuing Saturday, June 23rd, and ending Sunday evening, June 24th. Good in the Hood is back at King School Park at Northeast Grand Avenue. Tune into KBOO starting Saturday afternoon on June 23rd for the live broadcast. More information about Good in the Hood can be found on the KBOO.fm website on the home page.
Good morning, you're listening to KBOO Portland. The time is 10:01. Up next we have Air Cascadia. Stay tuned.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Thursday, June 21st, National Aboriginals Day in Canada's Northern Territory, and summer solstice on planet Earth. You're listening to KBOO Portland, Community Sanctuary Solidarity. Yeah, Indigenous guardians on the front lines of the Northern Conservation Area across the North, Indigenous hunters, trappers, and community members are asserting their rights and reclaiming stewardship over their lands and their waterways. And we are very pleased today, the solstice day, the summer solstice across the sky and on the same earth that Trump walks. We are so glad to welcome the Reverend William Lamar to the KBOO Airwaves. We're going to talk about the Poor People's March. We're going to talk a little bit about poverty in America and what it does to people, despite which people still see the United States of America as a beacon of perhaps not justice, but certainly prosperity. And now they've run up against what else? Our version of justice, which of course is wrapped up in the constraints of poverty. No justice if you're poor. If you're poor, you're virtually a criminal. If you can't afford a lawyer, then there's no such thing as justice. And most of us can't really, when push comes to shove. This morning, I'm going to get to some of the other headlines and also some of the weather issues. But before, with no further ado, I want to welcome Reverend William Lamar to the KBOO Airways. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Good morning, and it's a pleasure to be with you. Thank you so much, and thank you for community radio and for radio that has the kind of conversations to spark the civic imagination to change this nation and the world. Thank you very much.
We try to do as President Obama suggested that all of this is meaningless unless we back it up with direct action. Today here in Portland, the cap at ICE headquarters had managed to get their message across and was able to conclude a very successful action down there. More and more people converged on the immigration headquarters and managed to make our voices heard as a community. So there is that. There are many battles ahead of us, many behind, and everybody as a community continue to the struggle. I wanted to ask you first off to talk a little bit about the action this past weekend, because it should serve as an inspiration to all of us in the activist community. We can get stuff done. We do take a risk, get arrested, but if you haven't been arrested, go out, get arrested for something that's meaningful that you believe in. We have to take some risks here.
Let me share a little bit. So just again, pleased to talk with you. The work of the Poor People's Campaign, A National Call to Moral Revival, brings back to the forefront of the nation's imagination the work inaugurated by King and Dolores Huerta and Cesar Chavez and so many others back in 68 prior to King's assassination execution, to ensure that the body politic could no longer ignore poverty in America. And so what we've done the past Mondays, we've had direct action beginning Mother's Day, 40 days of direct action. We have been arrested multiple times in the rotunda of the United States Congress. And on last Monday, we were arrested, nine of us, on the plaza of the United States Supreme Court. We were held overnight in D.C. Central cell block and released after 30 hours of being detained. Normally, when protesting at the U.S. Capitol, we were booked by the Capitol Police and we were released and had to pay a $50 fine. So what we believe is that we are, when the officers would ask us, do we wish to be arrested? We don't want to be arrested. We want justice. Yes. And we are willing to put our bodies on the line. And I want to encourage your listeners and others, no great shift in economics or politics has occurred until people have lifted up their bodies as realities of sacrifice. And I'm willing to stand in a place, go in a place with other human beings to let those policymakers who legislate evil and unjust and injustice, that they might know that there are people who are watching, who are listening, and who will not allow them to do their dark work in secrecy. And so what's happening in Portland, what's happening in California, what's happening in Washington, D.C., and 30 some other odd capitals around the nation, people are no longer willing to be silent when you've got 60% of Black people living in poverty, 65% of Latinx people, 41% of Asians, a huge number of our white brothers and sisters. Too many people living in poverty, and poverty for us is an issue of dispelling the lie in America that there is not enough. America is not a land of scarcity. America is a land of abundance. 53 cents of every tax dollar is spent on the war economy, spent on buying weapons and planes and helicopters. That money could be used to build up the poor, to build up the weak, to make sure that everyone in this nation has what is necessary to flourish as human beings made in the image and likeness of God from my own theological belief. And so I'm really excited about the energy that I see from people who have come together in solidarity across lines of race and gender and religion, and to say that we are no longer willing to be quiet. We've been quoting Martin King, who said that for him, the Poor People's Campaign was a new unsettling force in the midst of the status quo of the politics of the day. And what we need is an unsettling force in the midst of the politics of today.
We don't, that indeed. I think that's a key word, that's a key idea and a motivating idea. Is exactly what is needed today. There is plenty. This is a land of plenty, and there's plenty of people that deserve. This is not a handout to anybody. People, certainly the African Americans, black population of the United States of America, has earned their share in many times over, having built this nation indeed on indigenous lands, which are we literally have stolen people building a nation on stolen land, and it's a bit it's way well overdue that these crimes against the poor are addressed. We talk about criminalization of poverty. We should also talk about the crimes that the nation that America commits against its poor, who indeed underwrite the massive wealth at the top. You don't get massive wealth without massive poverty. It's just that's the equation. I wonder if you could talk a little bit about the leadership role. It seems traditionally throughout American history that black churches have oftentimes stepped in and taken on the burden of a leadership role when it comes to in activism.
Yeah, I do. I want to add, and you have opened up an area of discussion that we need to have, and that is capitalism as practiced in America must be challenged. In my opinion, it must be deconstructed. And an economy that considers a communitarian impulse must replace it. America is a land dripping in blood, born and conceived in conquest and not in liberty. And that the very birth and spread of capitalism happens with captured land and captured bodies. So what we have to do, and when you take that and place that in really the theological and historical narrative of the black church, it is a theological understanding that God is the God of all people, that God does not exclude, that God invites, that God does not condemn, but God seeks to relate. And that God is in the very business right now, in my theological reading, of helping to overthrow dictators, of helping to subdue and remove those who would oppress, those who would commodify human beings, those who would destroy futures and hopes. That the God that I serve is a God who is justly displeased by all of those things, and who uses of the power of the divine to bring people together to upset what is status quo. One of the things I always say is American evangelicalism, that read of Christianity is a reading of Christianity with the empire being at the center. But the reading of the text as they are presented is a reading with those who have been consumed and oppressed by empire at the center. And so the way that we have read it as the black church in our best moments is that we're not on the side of the empire, but we're on the side of those whom the empire is crushing. And the work of God and the work of church is liberation. And that is the work of people who may not confess any belief, who may not believe in any God. The work of humanity is liberation, such that all can flourish together.
We are close to wrapping it up for today, and I want to thank you so much. That's a perfect note to end it on. It seems that America does indeed see the rest of the world, and in itself, and only in terms of its wealthy, the interests of the wealthiest. Certainly, our entire system of justice or injustice is has been corrupted by contact with an amoral system. Just one final quick thought before we go out.
I believe I am hopeful because I see that people are willing to engage and to make a change. And I do not want us to grow weary in this fight. If we continue to fight, a new world is possible. Someone had to imagine a world without slavery. Somebody had to imagine a world without women being treated as second-class citizens. Somebody had to imagine a world where workers were treated fairly. Those things did not exist until human beings came together to make it so. So brothers and sisters, let's come together and make the world that we dream of. Let's make it together.
Reverend Lamar, thank you so much. We are indeed very, very grateful, and we are so glad to be able to share those words with our community here in Portland. This has been Air Cascadia for Thursday, June 21st, summer solstice, 2018. Kip Hoover, engineer of the show for today. Thanks, Kip. Derek Crooks, is IAM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts. Know your rights. Take a stand. Thanks for listening, and stay tuned.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor Building Bridges, Tearing Down Walls on Sunday, June 24th at 5 p.m. at the Sunnyside Community House in Portland. Building Bridges, Tearing Down Walls features the screening of Dare to Dream, a 30-minute documentary on U.S. students who graduated from the Latin American School of Medicine in Havana, Cuba. John Waller, the National Caravan Coordinator for Pastors for Peace, will speak about how, in 1959, the Cuban people dared to dream a different future for their country, and how the U.S. government has been trying to destroy that dream by economic blockade. Again, that's Building Bridges, Tearing Down Walls.